This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
Hello again and thank you for being with us. A very warm welcome back to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast. You are on the company in capable hands as always with myself and Ollie. It's been another busy week of murmurs and that was just last week's podcast episode. Tried to squeeze that one in. We're here with you for the next half an hour or so to provide the discussion basis and soundtrack to whatever mundane task you are currently undertaking, or who knows, maybe you're just here for the podcast alone, in which case welcome, you're only here for the podcast. We'll tackle the major news at Pompey to begin with then. Good evening, how are you? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday everyone, / Friday when you're most likely listening to it. Yeah, it's been a very interesting week, hasn't it? It's been a very exciting week, actually. There's been a lot of good things happening. We've got a lot to talk about, really, haven't we? Let's face it. It's been entertaining, that's for sure.
It's been a week or so. It has been a week. And to be honest with you, it's nice to think that there isn't just going to be the same discussion, because you could look at it from the outset and go, well, they haven't got a manager yet, so all you're going to talk about is the same thing as we did last week. But we'll tackle the major issue and the news at Pompey to begin with, as is so often the way we do. At the time of recording on Thursday evening, Pompey is still yet to hand a contract to Danny Cowley's successor. It looks like today and yesterday we've had some development, yet very little in the way of concrete moves forward in the hunt for a new boss. How do you assess the recruitment process so far, Ollie? Albeit with little insight into the process itself, for the club perhaps rightly tight-lipped on the whole situation.
Yeah, of course. I think they've got to... I think they've got to... They've got to keep their cards close to their chest, haven't they? They can't just go, oh, this is who we're going to appoint. I think that it does also show the fact it's not been like a lot of clubs. You see this manager gets sacked, new manager appointed. Mm. And it's very much planned in the making. All those meetings have been on in the background. Whereas this doesn't seem that way. It seems like it was left to possibly the last possible minute, which they could get rid of Danny in a way that's comfortable enough for them to find someone. I think that Charlton game for them was the last straw, and the reaction to the crowd was all they had to go by, and that's what they made that decision based on, really. The obviously the performance of the team as well, but it was how can you get back from that, and then now obviously undertake the search for a new manager. So it's quite nice to see that it wasn't like an underhand thing of we're looking to get rid of Danny, let's find someone else in advance of that and announce him 2 days after. So it's good to see her taking the time with it, because obviously we want the right man for the job, or woman, I guess. Is there any football managers that are a woman?
There are in the women's game, yes, but not currently. I don't think in the men's game there are any women in managerial positions.
If any people know of any women in managerial positions, the highest
managerial
the Chelsea, woman, it'd be great to hear.
The Chelsea women's boss is a woman. Obviously. And obviously, well, no, because there are men's managers of women's teams.
I wonder why.
We'll just knock some of Georgie's law notes on the floor. Just pick those up, viewers, listeners. Yes, okay, and I agree with you in terms of them taking their time and getting the right man for the job. You would just hope that maybe it might have been a slightly quicker process than it has been now. We're, bearing in mind they sacked him on the 2nd, they knew that they had until the 14th as an end point of a Saturday league game was the next one that they'd have. My feeling would be, and I wonder how you feel about this, if you don't have someone in place and we're led to believe that there won't be someone in place for Saturday... That might have all changed by the time you listen to this, of course. If there isn't someone in place by that point, is there a little concern that it's then another league game down the line? It's 23 league games instead of 24 that this new incoming manager's got to play with, perhaps?
I would be if I hadn't been to the Tottenham game. I think if we'd turned up to Tottenham and we were frankly awful and we were playing very boring, unenthusiastic football, the team weren't behind Bassey and the rest of them, and I just think that we came out against Tottenham, we gave a really good account for ourselves, we played really well, we only allowed them to have one shot on target throughout an entire game of football. A couple of friends of mine that are Tottenham fans messaged me about how well Zach Swanson played in that game and how they feel that he's our best player by country mile, which is great to hear as well, because they said in their terms he kept Son in his pocket, which is quite nice to hear.
That's kind of something you'd expect to hear from Pompey fans rather than Spurs fans.
Exactly right, yeah.
You could have quite easily put Zach Swanson in Emerson Royale's place and I don't think anyone would have noticed. I think he was that... I know Emerson Royale's not brilliant, but I think he was that good.
Yeah. I think that obviously with the way we performed there under Bassey, I think that it gave probably the board a little bit more confidence to take their time over this decision. I think there's every possibility that we could come out this weekend and get a win irregardless. I don't think we're in a worse place than we were previously. I don't think the new manager hype would make a massive amount of difference at this point. I would rather see them announce someone on Monday, give him 7 days to get the team, or 6 days to get a team together ready for the following home match.
Exeter, which is key.
Yeah, exactly. 21st. And then have, you know, leave the team in quite a stable place, because at the minute the team are under Bassey. There's 2 days until Saturday, or one as of tomorrow. Mm. Is there any point in bringing someone in and trying to get his input like a day before the match is played? Is there any point in that realistically for the club? So I would say no. I think that we're better off waiting until next week, and hopefully we'll get a good announcement, and taking their time, we'll make sure it's the right person for the job and not just a knee-jerking to the top odds.
Last orders would probably be in about 2 minutes' time at the time of recording. It's coming up to 8 o'clock on Thursday evening. This is really the last chance. And as I said, we're led to believe that that it won't be announced at any point. But you'd probably think 8 o'clock shut off on a Thursday night in preparation for a Saturday game would really be the last chance that you'd look to announce a new manager or have him in the building, etc., etc.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard quite a lot today through different media channels. You know, I was in the office today and we had the radio on, and on the radio they were talking about Pompey News and what was happening with the manager, and saying how Liam Manning seems to be taking a bit of a lead into that at the moment in terms of the most likely prospect to get the job. You and I both watched a video today from Liam Manning about his tactical bits and things, not from him to us. Obviously, it was just one of his tactical...
It was on the Coach's Voice YouTube channel from a couple of years ago, and it was while he was in charge of MK Dons. I just thought it was quite an interesting insight to what we can expect from him, should he be the incoming coach. Currently, factoring the general feel of things, and you mentioned bookies, odds, etc., which is, of course, far from the best indicator to factor in general feel of things for who's lined up to the role. As you mentioned, you've heard stuff on the radio. I've spoken to various people, both club personnel and others, fans in the like. Liam Manning and Ian Foster appear to be sort of a 50-50 split right now. Well, not a 50-50 split, but maybe the two men in the frame at this moment in time. But then not just before we started recording, but earlier on this afternoon, the bookies reopened and Chris Wilder's now the favourite at 2-1. So yeah. They closed and then they sort of, I think they closed last night and then reopened this afternoon. So whether, you know, mere speculation, but whether talks got a certain way down the line with Liam Manning and then they hit a stumbling block or whatever, I don't know how closely you can correlate the bookies' odds to the actual situation at the football club. If this is to be the case, and let's assume it is, say you've got Liam Manning, Ian Foster, and then maybe an outside chance of someone like a Chris Wilder. Again, names are just speculating. How would you see Pompey's outlook with either of the names mentioned in charge? I know you were quite keen on Lee Bowyer, but right now, in terms of the names in the hat, how would you feel about a Liam Manning's blue and white army?
The only reason why I was keen on Lee Bowyer initially was because of how he made Charlton work. And his interviews after the game, the players' interviews, how much they have respect for him and how much they put themselves in front of the ball for the club and for their shirt. And that's all of his ethos, which is what I think we need as a club. Now, if Lee Bowyer doesn't get the position, which is looking very unlikely that he will, which, you know, it's not a worry of mine. All I care about realistically is the fact that we get the right person who is going to encourage the team in the right way. So if we haven't got a mass of talent that's got the likes of Ipswich have, or the likes of Sheffield United, or
about them at the end of the episode.
You know, if we haven't got the finesse throughout the team that those big teams in the league have, that's fine. But we can still put the work rate in and the effort in and the drive, and I think that's what the fans really want to see, and that's what we all need.
Well, effort, spirit, and determination cost absolutely nothing exactly. In terms of wages, do they?
No, and they're all footballers that work hard, that are fit. You know, they're more than able to run around a pitch for 90 minutes and throw some challenges in and make an account for themselves. And equally, they should all want that success for themselves as well, and to show themselves in a good light as individuals, because they should all be pushing to get to the next level. They all want to be in the Championship playing at that level and earning more money and everything else that comes with it. Travelling to better stadiums like Tottenham, and I'm not saying they're travelling to Tottenham in the Championship, but you go to better stadiums.
My question, just to build on what you said there, I know this wasn't really in the plan to chat about, but there was an argument. I was on the Three Lads in the Pub Twitter space last night. They do a fantastic podcast that is
almost as good as ours.
Well, yeah, I mean, theirs is in a pub and three of them, and ours is in Georgie's spare room with two of us.
Georgie's?
But,
yeah, it's not my spare room as well?
Well, we look at around. There's not, other than your chinos, there's not really much else in your
Georgie's office.
There we go. That's probably the better term.
It's quite pink in here, isn't it?
That's what I was kind of alluding to. I'm looking at an original source lemon zest shampoo.
That's actually mine.
Oh, there we go then. Anyway, let's move on from that. No one's really interested in the room. We'll have to do a behind-the-scenes video podcast one day of documenting what we're actually getting up to. I was going to ask you what you mentioned there about the better stadium thing. There is an argument that was raised in the Three Lads in the Pub podcast. I think it was Jeff that mentioned it, was that, is it a case of the players rose to the occasion, A, because it was Ipswich at home? Cast your mind back to that game just before the turn of the year on the 29th of December. We really raised our game and could have gone on to win that game 2-1 and came out with a really good point against what is a top team in this division. Like it or not, a top team in this division. Then we go to Spurs. Obviously, you have the disappointment at Fratton Park on New Year's Day, which, you know, doesn't need any more discussion because we mentioned it plenty of times. You've mentioned it tonight already on the pod, and we've mentioned it for weeks on both the channel and the podcast and the live streams that we do. You then go to a place like Tottenham where, A, everyone's in a shop window. B, it's a great opportunity to, it's a bit cynical, but get a nice picture on Instagram, tag Harry Kane, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, yada, yada, yada. The focus then shifts to Bolton Wanderers away, Papa John's Trophy, with less than 5,000 people in the stadium. Is there a little bit of a maybe a lapse, and, you know, you don't really want to get on that coach and go all the way up to Bolton for the first time of two times in 1 week? And there's maybe the aftershocks of putting in a real gritty performance against Tottenham. Is there any? I think the comeback to what I'm going to say, I would imagine you're going to say, is that the players should be wanting to play every game in a Pompey shirt, and you're nodding at me.
Yeah, it's not just that. It's up to the manager, isn't it? That's what they're there for at the end of the day. They're there to motivate a team in any environment. And no matter, you know, these are all competitive people, don't forget. They're not, they're not
in it for the ride sort of thing.
No, exactly right. You know, they haven't just stumbled across this as a career. They're not working every day of the week. They are doing the same thing every day of the week, but it's not like a boring, nothing job. You know, it's quite, for most of them, it's a dream that they've always wanted to be a professional footballer.
Doesn't look that way sometimes.
No, it doesn't sometimes, I admit. But it's up to the manager to bring that competitive spirit out, and they're all going to be competitive people. They've all played at, you know, good levels at school, and then, you know, locally and at lower, at youth club football, they would have been competing against one another at that level as well.
Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is a big reward for them as well. You could say it's not just an Instagram situation, but something to be proud of.
Exactly, that not many people in our league are going to have the opportunity to play in that stadium.
Oh, I said this on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, that Colby Bishop was playing non-league football in he played for Accrington. He played non-league football before that, and then to within a season or two be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium representing Portsmouth. It's quite something.
Yeah, crazy turnaround. So I think it's down to the manager to motivate the team. To be honest with you, leaving the Papa John's Trophy didn't upset me.
I was gutted.
I am really not bothered in the slightest by that. I think if anything, that we really need to focus on the league this season. It's probably a good thing we're out of the cups now, and we can start pressing forward with just the remaining games that we have. We've got a couple of games in hand, which obviously means we're going to have a slightly more packed end to the end of the season.
9 games off the playoffs with 3 games in hand maximum.
9
so
points, do you mean?
That's what I said.
You said 9 games.
9 points off the playoffs with 3 games in hand off the majority of the teams that we'd be looking to take said
but
playoff.
But we're
going to
be playing 2 more games than those teams in the latter half of the season, 3 in certain cases. So not being in the Papa John's Trophy anymore, not being in the FA Cup anymore is actually going to help us a little bit, because we're not going to have, you know, Saturday, Tuesday. And, you know, it's evident to see. You go to Tottenham, you play 90 minutes, you put in an absolute shift against some of, you know, the world's best players in that team. You're going to be a bit tired. You don't, you know, like you said, on Monday morning when you've got to get on that coach and go all the way up to Bolton.
Well, this is it.
Your legs
are
going to be stiff. You sat down for a while. Everything else, you're going to need a lot of physio, a lot of warming up before that game. And even then, are you really firing on all cylinders at that point? Arguably not. So I think hopefully this rest in between the two trips up has been quite good for the team, and they can come out this weekend and put in a good performance.
Can I ask you something that I was a little bit interested by? It sort of made me think a little bit. There's a slight, maybe it's just me being a little bit kind of used to the whole way that we do things around here at Pompey, but Thursday's normally press afternoon. That wasn't the case today. There wasn't a press conference. The press conference is planned in for tomorrow morning. The players had today off, in terms of there were no training sessions today when there normally would be, and they're then going to travel after having trained tomorrow morning. They'll then travel tomorrow afternoon. Bolton is quite a way away. I'm guessing it's because it's a long trip to Bolton on the Monday, get back Wednesday morning, early Tuesday, late night. I don't know whether they got Wednesday off. Normally the case under Danny was always you get that Wednesday off after a midweek and then back in Thursday, travel Friday. I don't know whether they trained on the Wednesday and then have the day off on the Thursday. I'm hearing this as secondhand information, by the way. I haven't been down the training ground seeing if they've been training today, but I can tell you that there was a day off today. Would you read anything into that? It's obviously not in sort of waiting for an incoming manager. I just think it might be a disruption to the schedule that maybe they've made a conscious choice about.
Yeah.
Just briefly, because we've got lots to go.
Yeah, from. I mean, in football, there's lots of things, strange things that happen. You know, I'm known from a mate of mine that plays, and he's played at a decent level throughout his career, and it varies from manager to manager and from club to club what they expect you to do. It all depends on how they feel gets the best out of their team and their players and what's best for them in terms of injury prevention, fitness, all those kind of things, recovery. And each club will take it into account. I don't think it's, like you said, it's not going to be a day off because we're going to announce a new manager tomorrow morning at a press conference, which it might be the case. We don't know, obviously. We've got no idea. But then equally, you could say that, you know, it's a bit of a strange time. Is Simon Bassey going to sit in a press conference on Thursday night after he's done all what's happened in the last week? Everything's kind of kicked off. Mm. Is it the right time to have that press conference on Thursday? Is it better to do it on
Friday morning? And maybe give it a bit more focus on the game, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm not going to read too much into it. I think it'll be exciting if we do announce a manager tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessarily going to be on the edge of my seat expecting it to happen.
You've mentioned competitive spirit a minute ago. Would it be fair to say that either of the two, i.e. Liam Manning or someone like the other guy, Ian Foster, would you say that would be a step in the wrong direction as a result of the Cowley sacking, perhaps in terms of CV appeal or even League One success? What would you say?
I would say we need to find the right man for our club, irregardless of their CV and past experience and past success.
Because it is fine margins, we should point out as well.
Yeah.
And that's maybe quite a cynical question for me to ask, but it's merely trying to cover every base.
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? There's a lot of debates around who should be... And you see it in the Premier League all the time. Managers jump from club to club over and over, and you see them being immensely successful at one club and then horrendously poor at another. Like, for example, Rafa Benitez. Mm. Prime example, when he was at Liverpool, he was immensely successful in his own right. You know, they won the Champions League under him. And then he went to... Did he go to Everton?
An absolute Newcastle.
Newcastle and flopped it. And then you see Eddie Howe in at Newcastle absolutely flying. So
So what you're saying is you should maybe not judge Liam Manning's slightly unsuccessful. When I say slightly unsuccessful, they were off the bottom of the league by goal difference. And I think they lost 10 out of 14 in his last games in charge. But yeah. At the same time, he had a really successful season the season before at MK Dons and led them to 89 points and 1 point off automatic promotion from League One. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a change in circumstances there. Okay, well, let's move on then. I just point out at the end that Liam Manning would appear to be high risk, high reward, and perhaps it's not an ambitious appointment at all, and Ian Foster would have a tremendous phone book of young English talent, and perhaps more important, the agents of young English talent. But it is really hard to generate a reasonable opinion without giving any manager or head coach a shot at actually being in charge of the team, and we're basing a lot off what we say of past experience.
Liverpool,
so he
Inter.
Did, then Chelsea, then Napoli. So it's about five or six years between going from Liverpool to Newcastle. So
yeah,
apologies.
What I mean is the same manager.
Yes, and different places.
Yeah, different places. I'm not saying he went from one to another directly, but the same as Jose Mourinho, you know, when he was at Charlton? He wasn't at Charlton. When he was at Chelsea, he was immensely successful, but that was at a time when Abramovich pumped money into the club. They're arguably the best starting 11 in the world at that point, and they were able to just dominate the league, dominate the Champions League, and just win trophy after trophy. Mm. And then he goes over and obviously did a great job at Inter as well, but then he comes back and he struggled at United, and he struggled at
Tottenham,
and you know he's out of Roma, and I don't know how successful they've been. As far as I can tell, they're doing all right, but he's not winning Champions Leagues with every team he goes to. So, albeit the manager was known as a special one who won everything. It realistically hasn't won an awful lot in the more recent years of his career, And is that because he was right place, right time with the right club that suited him?
I mean, it's football.
And arguably, we just need the right person to generate the team that we've currently got and to build on the team we've currently got and get us in a better position in the league than what we're in now.
Let's move on to the second part of the podcast. We're going to look ahead to the trip to Bolton, the second trip of this week to Bolton. Any concerns over the fact that we can put out a similar side to that of what we will field come Saturday and look second best in every department for large parts of the game? We then go into this weekend knowing that it will be a similar crop of players and maybe a similar outcome.
Well, hopefully Bassey's learnt from what he saw.
We should say, no Josh Griffiths and no Josh Caroma as well, both
gone. Oh, yeah,
gone.
That's what happened this week.
Yeah, that's another thing. Sorry, yeah. We should have maybe highlighted that at the start. But does that make a difference to any plans? Because Josh Griffiths played the full 90 minutes at Bolton on Tuesday night. And then Wednesday evening, it gets revealed that he's actually been recalled by West Brom. And perhaps, seeing as that's the only game in the Papa John's trophy this season so far that Griffiths has started, maybe Bassey's taken the decision there and been quite pragmatic about things and gone, right, let's chuck Griffiths in for his last game and not risk Oluwayemi for the Saturday fixture.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say he's that worried about a keeper's injury, if I'm honest. I don't think that's something that really crosses the mind of a manager.
Maybe keep a young guy fresh who hasn't had a lot of league minutes and allow him to get properly ready for Saturday, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly right.
And anyway, thoughts ahead of the Bolton game initially?
I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting how we set up in this game comparably to what happened, obviously, in the midweek. It'll be interesting to see how much we learnt from the midweek and how much we're able to adapt tactically to improve on that performance and get a W as opposed to losing. But that being said, whether we went into that wholeheartedly to win that game or not is very easy to speculate against, especially with what's coming up in the rest of the season. Mm. You know, albeit you get a bit of money and whatnot for getting to, you know, different places in the trophy. And obviously, if you got to the final, you go to Wembley again and all that kind of stuff.
I don't think we really needed something like that, did we?
No, I'm not saying we do. But what my point stands is that there's always an incentive to stay in these things from a club's perspective in terms of financial benefits, but not necessarily from a manager's perspective and a team perspective and a fan's perspective. We'd all rather see us get a chance of promotion rather than win the Papa John's League, or Papa John's Cup, sorry. Hopefully we'll be able to turn, you know, we'll be able to turn what we learnt from that game into a win this weekend, which is the most important win. That's the 3 points that we need, and it gets us turning in the right direction towards still at the start of January, really.
Where do you think the wins look like they're coming from, though, Ollie? Because we've only had 3 of them in our last 16 games in all competitions, and those 3 have all, pretty bar one, have all, well, two of the other two, have come in domestic cup competitions such as Papa John's or FA Cup or Carabao, etc., etc. So
I always like to think on the positive side of it that we're due a win. I think there's always that you're not going to lose. You know, we're not a bad team.
We've only lost 5 games in the league. It's just been way too many draws for anyone's liking, isn't it?
Exactly. We said this before. You know, draws are the worst way of losing, aren't they? Or the draws. We said blah blah blah. How do we word it?
I don't know. We definitely didn't word it like that.
No, I think that was it though. You know, no. Everyone learn that sentence. And repeat it as if it's always been around. The point I'm trying to make is
said that 3 points, if you draw, you drop down to 2, but if you lose from a drawing position, you only drop by 1. Yeah.
So you're better off winning half of them and losing half of them, and you get double the amount of points that you would do if you draw.
That sounds a lot more convincing.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. like we said before, I'd rather have seen us lose 8 games and win an extra 5 than be in the position we're
draw
in now.
A load of them, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. So I think from our perspective, we're due a win. You know, the team have come off a good performance at Tottenham that they can hold their heads high for. Yeah, we lost at Bolton, but it also gives us an opportunity to go for the manager to sit there and go, come on, boys, look, we can't continue the way we've been so far. We need to turn this around. We need to turn this over, and we need to get a W here today. Mm. You know, I think that everyone wants to see that. The fans want to see that. And hopefully the support the fans gave at Tottenham gives the team that encouragement that, you know, we don't hate them. We're not against them. It might have felt that way in previous home games. And they might have felt very down and nervous about going out on that pitch in front of the crowd because it turns so quickly.
Yeah. And is that the reason why we tend to concede from our opposition's first attack, and then the game is then taken away from us because, as a result of conceding, there is that negativity.
Yeah.
And I actually thought back a little while ago, I didn't say it on the podcast, but I had it written down. I didn't quite get time to squeeze it in from the one we did the other night, and I thought about saying it on one of our live shows as well. If you cast your mind back to the 3rd of September against Peterborough, they at the time were as high-flying as we were. They were very much up there with us. And to be honest with you, they're still up there. And I know they've had a managerial change this season already too. But they're very much kicking around in those playoff positions, Peterborough. And they, I would imagine they probably will become the end of the season. That was a big occasion. It was a big game. And we actually went 1-0 down inside 5 minutes against Peterborough. So the away side took the lead. And everyone around me, including myself, was of the opinion at that time. And I remember saying it to people, we won't lose this game. We will either get back on level terms and then push for that winner, or even better, we'll go and find that winner. We ended up winning the game 2-1 at Fratton Park after we turned it around. I think it was a Pompey goal in the... I think it was just before half-time, and then I think we scored just after half-time. We might have scored before. I might just check that out when you're chatting in a minute. But my point was, fast forward just a handful of months, and we're actually sat here thinking, as soon as that goal... Literally, as soon as that goal goes in... Yeah, so it's... on 38 minutes and 17 minutes from Dane Scarlett, who hasn't had his shooting boots on for a long time. That was actually the last time he scored a league goal, would you believe, 3rd of September 2022. I've got a little stat to show you about that later on as well, so that'll be fun for the tail end of the podcast. My feeling behind it is, in that kind of a game, and there's probably 6 or 7 examples of games where we've done just that and turned things around, and we were always the second half team at the start of the season where we say, oh, Pompey will come out and show a bit of fighting spirit. We saw it at Hillsborough, we saw it at this game, and we saw it against Plymouth at Fratton Park as well. Now, you're looking at it and you think, as soon as we concede that first goal, and it's actually only a matter of time before we do concede that first goal, or that's the way it's felt in the last couple of weeks, the game actually looks too far away from us all of a sudden. And although it's only one goal, we look completely devoid of ideas and beaten. So that builds to my point, where are the wins going to come from? Because if you look at it, it's, you know, how many times in the last couple of weeks or couple of months have we conceded the first goal and ended up losing the game? Or have we conceded the first goal and just scraped an equaliser? I'm thinking Oxford and Fleetwood and games like that. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, you look at that Peterborough game as an example. We only had 2 shots on target in that game and we scored 2 goals. You know, how many games have we had this season where we've gone 1-0 down and we've still had 2 shots, 3 shots and 4 shots on target in the game but not put away our chances?
Mm.
And all it would take is a little bit of confidence maybe in the striker or in whoever's taking the shot at the time to bang that home instead of knocking it straight at the keeper or trying to be a bit conservative with their placement of the ball, their power behind the ball. When you're playing with confidence and you're winning, it's a lot easier to go and score goals, you know?
Of course. And that's what this team is completely lacking and devoid of, is confidence, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would like to think that what's happened in recent times with Tottenham, we're going to be in a position now where we've come off a really good performance where the club and the fans have been behind the team, and hopefully we can stay behind the team into our next home game at Exeter and obviously the away game at Bolton. I'm sure there'll be quite a few travelling fans up there still for that game as well.
1,000.
Is that all?
1,000.
I thought it'd be more than that, to be honest. But I don't think that's a bad thing for the players and for the club at the minute. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing to only have 1,000 up there. Hopefully, it will give us, like I said before, it will give us the opportunity to go out, put a performance in, not worry about the fans, not worry about the crowd, not worry about that negativity, and come into the next home game, hopefully with a new manager, with a bit of positive attitude, and try and get that win and not turn too quickly. Because that's what we've got to avoid as a club, I think, and a fan base, is... we've got to give whoever's coming in an opportunity to get their feet under the table before they feel the potential wrath of Fratton Park when it does go sour.
So you mentioned there about goal scoring and the confidence that it takes to score a goal. Probably going to end up mentioning this in the video as well because I think it's really interesting. But Colby Bishop's the joint third top goal scorer in League One with 10 goals and 1 assist to his name so far this season. Bear in mind that he's only played 22 games and the rest of these boys above him, Chaplin, Adboyego at Burton, Sam Lombe at Exeter, Johnson Clark Harris and then Aaron Collins, they've all played upwards of 24 games. So 24 and 25 for a handful of them. Aaron Collins actually played in 26 games this season. You look at how many shots Colby Bishop's had compared to the rest of them. He is right down on 23, and the next one up is 34, and then 40, and then 50, and then 58 for some of the top scoring. Look how much better his shot accuracy is there. 78% shot accuracy, and look how much better his goal conversion rate is. So from me looking at that, you're thinking, imagine if Colby Bishop had half decent service. He could literally, I mean, he's absolutely feeding off scraps there with a 43% conversion rate, which is unheard of in League One. You just think, imagine if Colby was motoring and you had a proper, you know, maybe even a slight, I must say a proper, that's maybe a little bit unkind to some of the players, but a working and a unit in terms of attacking that can actually support his goal scoring prowess. I think he could be in maybe 20 at this moment in time.
The thing is I believe we have those players. Mm. I believe, you know, Dale has been fantastic for us. Mingy's obviously out with a slight injury at the moment. I don't know what the update is on that. But we still got people like Curtis sat on the bench, and you know, we're forgetting that Curtis 2, 3, 4 seasons ago was looking at getting in a place in the Championship, and everyone thought his ego was getting too big for his boots at that point, and he was maybe getting a bit overconfident with how he was and how he was acting. He's still the same player inside, and the right manager, I believe, will get that performance out of him. Maybe he's lost a bit of enthusiasm for it since that point, which is understandable, really. So I do believe that we've got the players that can service. You know, as an attacking group, we've got some very strong, very athletic, very pacey, good players that can potentially, you know, really produce some goals and some great opportunities. We just need to start converting it and putting it in a position for someone like Colby, who's, you know, if he's hitting the target 78% of the time, that's nearly 4 shots on target in every 5 attempts.
Mm.
That's incredible. And then scoring 43% of them, scoring almost half of them. You know, so every, you know, every 10 shots he has, he scores over 4 goals. It is absolutely incredible statistics. So all we got to do realistically is give him 2, 3 shots a game and we're likely to score at least a goal.
Just give him some more opportunities. That's all it would be, isn't it?
And that's the way it boils down to. So it's interesting to see those stats, actually, because it's something you don't really ever look at. As a fan, you never look at something like that. So, yeah it's fascinating to see that.
Well, what we'll do is we will have mentioned it on Four and All Over It this weekend, and we maybe even draw it to some of your attention in some of the live shows that we do over the next coming days and weeks. Back to Bolton just briefly to finish up, and then we'll chat football this week. And I'm afraid it's mainly January transfer that I wanted to bring up. We'll only briefly touch on that because it's not got much to do with Pompey, and I'm aware we're closing in on our 35 minute limit. Bolton are a high-flying team with a decent run of form and some results against Plymouth and Derby, who are two very difficult teams to A, beat, and B, keep a clean sheet and get a point out of. And perhaps a little unfortunate that a game that Pompey need to treat as a steady the ship and, as you say, a do-a-win game ends up being one of those really tough away trips in League One.
Yeah, quite possibly. There's no reason why it can't be, is there? And we'd love to see it this weekend, let's face it. We really could do with that win for confidence behind the team, confidence behind the boys, and also if we are getting an appointment of a new manager, to give him that extra 3 points that he really needs to get us into that playoff position. I've got good hopes that Simon Bassey can pull that out of the bag this weekend, and I'm very hopeful for it.
My last little bit that I wanted to touch on, and oh, Fulham have just scored. Crikey. We missed that.
Potter is in trouble, isn't he?
Yes. Let's talk about
him.
Do
you know that the Chelsea fans were singing about bringing Tuchel back in their last home game against City? Now, bear in mind, City
scored it as well. Willian.
Oh, he loves that, doesn't he, as well? I mean, Willian is a class player, let's face it. I don't know how he's playing for Fulham. He's much better than Fulham.
It's unlucky.
It's a bit unlucky, to be fair. A few deflections in there to get it through the keeper. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you look at someone like Graham Potter, who's been basically cherry picked from Brighton, who are flying and still are flying at this moment in time. He was chosen to be the man to lead Chelsea, and Tuchel wasn't the right man for the job after, you know, he was chosen by the previous appointment of Roman Abramovich to take them forward.
Marco Silva was delighted.
I'm sure he is. Yeah, I'm sure he's absolutely loving it. You know, especially it's London Derby in a way for him, isn't it?
So
it's a big game. I think there's a lot of pressure on someone like Potter. And I don't necessarily think that it's the right thing. Obviously, he's a good appointment for the club of Chelsea. I don't think getting rid of him is going to be the right thing. But you can see how quickly fans can turn and how that can influence boards, because the one thing they don't want to see is see their fans dropping off. So I would like to see Potter given a bit more time, like Arteta was for at Arsenal. And I think it takes a while to build that confidence.
Came good for them at Arsenal when they gave Arteta a bit more time.
Exactly. I mean, again, Arteta was cherry-picked again, wasn't he? It was something like £2.5 million they paid City to release him as their assistant manager. to get him as a manager. So he's an unproven manager. Obviously, under Pep, he's going to bring quite a lot with him. And I think it took him a season to find his own style, which he very much needed. But look how they're doing now. And I think you'll see much the same for someone like Potter at Chelsea. If he's not given the time, you could easily see him just fall out of place in terms of in football, and he'll be managing a Championship side next year when he had a very strong team at Brighton.
One more brief point of conversation. What have you made of the ambitious drive of fellow League One clubs this January transfer window so far, bringing in star potential in order to guarantee, in quotation marks perhaps, Championship football next season? Ipswich have brought in both George Hurst and Nathan Broadhead, who's a real star from Sunderland. We all know what George Hurst did last season for Pompey. That was to bolster their already threatening attacking options. Plymouth, despite the loss of their, would you believe it, their third league goal scorer this season in Tyler Whittaker, back to, well, he's been returned to his parent club, or his parent club have recalled him, have brought in three names back in, has brought in three names into the building. Striker Ben Wayne, wing-back Saxon Early, and midfielder Callum Wright. And for the first time in a long time, looks like they mean business and not operating directly through the loan market, which we've seen a lot of Plymouth do. So what's your feeling on the kind of those top two and the intent they're showing in this January transfer window?
Yeah, I think they're showing their cards, aren't they? I think they can see the opportunity of getting promoted this season. They can see that, you know, there's some big clubs in this league that haven't performed as well as they should have this year. You've had the likes of, obviously, us, where we are at the minute in the league. You've got the likes of Charlton, who are down at that bottom bit. MK, obviously, at the start of the season.
Charlton actually above us at this moment in time, would you believe? But there we go.
Well, yeah. But what I mean is that we're all in that kind of mid-table-ish position. MK, obviously, right down the bottom of the league. They were, you know, at the start of the season, they were seen to be favourites to be in the playoff spots, and they've really struggled.
10 losses in 14 at the start of the season for MK Dons.
And I just think that it's been a real challenging season for some of the bigger clubs in this league. And I think that Plymouth and Ipswich and teams like Ipswich have shown their intent from day one. But I think Plymouth can really see the opportunity that they have there. They're investing in the club in the right way, which I think they should be at this point in the season, to give themselves those opportunities. As we know, this second half of the season is going to be thick and fast. There will be a few injuries here and there amongst the players. So, strength in depth is massively important. So they are really, like you said, showing that intent and putting their cards out on the table to say, look, we want to get promoted. But then equally as well, you could argue from a perspective of... what the hell's happening here? Bloody hell.
My dad's just sent me a link to a 2002 silver VW Golf.
Fantastic. There we go.
For $6,000 for a 22-year-old car.
Like 20? One.
No. 21. Sorry, my apologies.
It's not 2024, mate.
No.
You've lost a year.
Very nearly.
Anyway, yeah, I think that they've shown their cards, haven't they? But equally, from a club's perspective, there's a very strong argument. You know, if we throw all our eggs in this basket this season, we get a load of good players in the January transfer window, what's left of it, and then we get a new manager in and we give him the opportunity of success. If he isn't successful with a good, strong team behind him, you can argue he hasn't done a good enough job. Whereas if he comes in, we've bought no one, we've got no strength and depth, we've lost a couple of players, we haven't got any real bench behind us anymore, and we get a few injuries, it's very easy for a manager to go, well, you know, I haven't got the players behind me to create this opportunity for us to get promoted, so obviously we're not going to get promoted this year.
The concern would be, will a new manager incoming, if it's not quite the right appointment, does that completely throw Pompey's season? I suppose that's a question that a lot of people will be asking themselves, and maybe we can only really ask that question when we know who it's going to be. But we'll see.
If I'm honest, I'm slightly fearful that we're going to face another season in League One. That's how I feel at the moment. A new manager can change that very quickly with the right, you know, getting the right performance out of the players.
We all know a decent League One run of form can really change the whole complexion.
It did for us last year.
Well, exactly.
Exactly right. So, you know, we get like five wins in six, something like that happening. All of a sudden, we're right back in amongst the mix of it. And
that does apply to every League One team currently struggling, though, doesn't it? But maybe they haven't got the luxury of a managerial shift.
Yeah, exactly right. And you often get that new manager ethos and vibe where the team start performing, because obviously then they're all in their own shop window as well, aren't they, for the manager. They all want to get first team football. So all the guys that have been on the bench previously have got an opportunity to show themselves in training and give themselves a chance to be playing first team football week in, week out. So you see that extra bit of competitive attitude and more often than not, you see that as a pickup for the rest of the team and the club as a whole. So hopefully we'll get that ourselves and we'll get a good few wins under a new manager early doors and start that run. If we can start it this Saturday, that would be massive.
Well, let's hope we can. Thank you for your time today, mate. Appreciate it. Well, this evening. Hope you've enjoyed the podcast this week. It's been a pleasure to bring it to you. We'll be back at the same time next week for another thrilling episode in which we might be talking to you about our reaction to the appointment of Pompey's new boss. That would be an interesting one, wouldn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I would love to do that. And again, like we said last week, thank you guys for all your support on this. We really appreciate everyone who takes the time to tune in and listen to us ramble on about Pompey. If you have any comments for us or any feedback, obviously please send it through to us and we'll be happy to look into extra topics you want us to cover in future
weeks.
Guests as well. You know, we are looking into having guests at a certain point in the podcast as well. So if anyone, you know, would like to come on as a special guest and
doing an open invite, are we?
An open invite. No, I think it's a good opportunity for the, you know, we're all about the fans here on 4-0 written all over it. That is what we're about. We want to service you guys and we want your opinions because that's what matters to this club. We want to
do a phone in. That's what we should do.
Oh, that'd be great.
We have a great phone in. We'll give it a go. We've got some plans in the pipeline.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you for your support and see you next week.
Play up Pompey.
Play up Pompey.